It is Wellness Wednesday. That means it's time for us to hang out with our friend Dr. Michael Roizen of the Cleveland Clinic, also one of the main brains behind LongevityPlaybook.com. LongevityPlaybook.com, it's where you go to find out how you can change your life to make yourself healthier, younger, to live longer, to become a genetic engineer. And Dr. Roizen, I sent you a story that I saw. I think it was in the in one of the UK papers. It sounds like they're adopting what you've been telling us in for years now, is that we can be genetic engineers. You can switch on all of these genes and make yourself younger. The Telegraph is copying your game, my friend.
Well, it's a good game to copy. You know, and it takes a lot of us to get the word out. So thank you for you getting the word out. But it is that you are the most powerful engineer, self-engineer, genetic engineer for yourself.
And you can do these things without having to leave your house. You can do simple things, simple changes in your life that will have a big effect, not just today, but way down the road. And it'll make the road longer, which is good.
It'll make the road both longer and smoother in that context, meaning less risk of disability, more risk of enjoyment of all the length of life.
Excellent. Excellent. I encourage people to visit longevityplaybook.com. Sign up, get the newsletter. It comes to your mailbox every week. It's free and it's smart. Hey, Doc, talking about some of the research you sent me, I wanted to ask you this question. Is depression caused by cardiovascular disease, or does cardiovascular disease cause depression?
Well, what you're saying is, which is the egg and which is the chicken, if you will.
Yes.
And the problem is they both contribute to each other. So if you have cardiovascular disease, you're more likely to get depressed. If you're depressed, you're more likely to develop cardiovascular disease. So it's a mutual, if you will, thing. It's a vicious cycle. More depression, more cardiovascular disease, more cardiovascular disease, more depression. So you've got to get out of it by having either friends or exercise, etc. So the goal is to, in fact, break the cycle, and that decreases your risk of depression, decreases your risk of cardiovascular disease. Depression increases the mortality and morbidity, heart attack, stroke, dementia, by about 50% in men and about 65% in women. So it's a little greater risk for women than men, but obviously hits both. So it has a greater impact on women than men. It increases cardiovascular disease by about 65% in women, by about 45% in men, both significant increases. So the key is do things that break it. Key is posse, having purpose, play, and again, physical activity, as well as resilience, stress management.
Yeah, I can't tell you how important it is to have that posse, that group, even if it's a small group, like a foursome on the golf course that you talk to once a week for a considerable amount of time. It's a safe zone. It's a place where you can be around each other and no pressure. And that posse is so valuable, and it will change your outlook on so many things, which then relates to your health. I wholeheartedly endorse that. Doc, while you talk about exercise and being active, there's a new minimum number of steps that we have to take. I thought everybody should be targeting 10,000.
Well, 10,000 is where you can do the minimum exercise for maximum benefit, about a 40% reduction in cardiovascular disease, cancer, dementia, and even accidents. But you start to get the benefit at 2,200 steps. This is a study from the United Kingdom database where they looked at how many steps people did. They had pedometers on them, 74,000. And then they followed them, and they found out that 2,200 is much better than 500. 4,000 is better than 2,200. 6,000 is better than 4,000. 8,000 is better than 6,000. and 10,000 is better than 8, but greater than 10, you don't get any more benefit. So anything, any movement you do gets you benefit, and the more movement you do, the more benefit.
I think the key here for a lot of people will be, you know, if you wake up and you think, I can't do 10,000 steps, well, if you just start with 2,200, you're going to make progress. And then once you're strong enough or you're comfortable there, you extend that to 4,000, then 6,000, get to 10,000. I think that's part of the key there. You don't have to eat the elephant all in one bite. Start at 2,200 and move your way up. Explain to me, what the heck is polypharmacy?
Polypharmacy is more than one drug, and it's usually four or five drugs. And in this case, the polypharmacy that was associated with inflammatory bowel disease is such that many people use drugs that affect their acetylcholine. They're one of the neurotransmitter systems, and those seem to cause an increase. They do cause, based on the data, they are associated with a increase in all-cause mortality and with earlier dementia. So the point is you want to avoid those as much as possible.
So when you say avoid it, what do you talk to your doctor and say, hey, I'm taking too many prescriptions, what can we do?
Yes, exactly.
It feels like we're bombarded with ads for prescription drugs every minute of every day. And I think people feel like there's a magic pill out there. And eventually you're taking a cocktail of pills every day, but that's got a negative effect on some people, especially with IBD. And that's not good. That can't be fun at all.
You got it exactly.
Well, talk to your doctor. That's kind of the important thing. Have conversations with your doctor. Dr. Roizen always says that when we talk about health and medicine, it's a safe zone. There are no sacred cows here. You can talk about anything and ask anything, and you should feel that way with your doctor. Doc, I don't currently know anybody who's dealing with Parkinson's, but I've known folks in the past, but now they're finding there's a certain gene that can protect against it.
Isn't that wonderful? Now we have to figure out how to turn on that gene. This is out of USC, their longevity and geriatrics program. They have found a gene that when it is present, decreases the risk of Parkinson's disease by 50%. Well, obviously, as we've said here many times, all genes do is produce proteins. Or watch other genes. In this case, if it produces proteins, then hopefully we'll find the protein that this gene causes, and maybe we can take a pill and reduce the risk of Parkinson's by 50%. That's the real goal.
That's great news, and that's always in the back of my head. Ever since you told me about the roots of Parkinson's from the early part of the 20th century, maybe tied to the Spanish flu or that flu outbreak, that pandemic outbreak, I'm worried if we're going to see another spike in Parkinson's after we get out of this pandemic, now that it's in the rearview mirror. So maybe they can find some way to prevent that from happening.
In studies this week, in the New England Journal and in Lancet, where they followed people from Denmark and from the UK who had COVID and looked at it. If you had a mild case of COVID, this is an actual case, there was a 3-point long-term IQ decrease. If you had to be hospitalized, there was a 6-point decrease. And if you think you have long COVID, you probably do. And there's a 9-point IQ decrease. Those are huge numbers.
Wow.
This is on average. So obviously some people had a 14-point decrease. Some people had a 2-point decrease. Some people had no change. But on average, those are huge changes. And we think that virus does affect brain function pretty substantially. So the point is, be fearful of this virus And it's another reason, you know, there is a risk to the vaccine. There's no doubt. The data is it's 1 in 1,000,000 for people over the age of 65 with the Pfizer. It's 2 to 3 per million if you had the Moderna. It's 6 per million if you had J&J. We don't know what Novavax is. It hasn't been studied well enough in this way, but we think it's even less than the Pfizer 1 per million. But in any case, the point is that the risk of not getting it is huge. 1 out of 20 people over the age of 50 died from this.
Wow.
Think of it. It's 5% of Americans in that age range died from it. That's a huge problem.
That's a big number. Now, in terms of the IQ thing, will the brain recover that, or is it too early for us to tell?
So far in these studies, the brain stabilizes and doesn't get worse, but doesn't get better.
Oh, I feel bad for those folks.
So what is the value of the vaccine? It seems to prevent this. In other words, the vaccine doesn't seem to prevent infections very well. We will get mild cases of the disease because it's not a portal of entry vaccine. That is, the vaccine doesn't stop it getting in your nose or mouth, etc. But it seems to prevent the brain loss and much of the other things. So remember, there is a risk to the vaccine, but the benefit, just think of it, is a 1 in 20 versus a 1 in a million risk. It's like you go to the roulette wheel and you put a dollar down and you can lose the dollar or you can get $50,000.
It's an easy choice when you just look at the hard numbers on it. Our friend is Dr. Michael Roizen. I encourage you to follow him on social media, Twitter, X, great stuff he posts there, as well as the work that's coming out of the Longevity Playbook. And you check out longevityplaybook.com. You should go there and sign up for the newsletter and then hang out with us. We talk about the latest news in the world of health and medicine every week. And hopefully we'll do it again next week.
I look forward to doing it next week.
All right. I'll be here. Thanks, Doc.
Me too. Thank you.